Good morning, and welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church. Welcome all of you, you who are visitors, you who are regularly attending here, you who are joining us by listening to a podcast later in the week, that we may all be united by the invitation of the God who loves us to join together in worship, to join together as a community, to join together to grow in love, in hope, in purpose. So let us begin our joining together by joining our voices as Kyle leads us.
Please turn in your blue Prairie Street Sings folder to number 6, Eres Todopoderoso. This is a praise song. The English meaning for the chorus is, I only live to love and praise you, my Lord, for you are almighty, great and majestic. You are strong and invincible. There is no one like you. And we're going to work through the Spanish pronunciation. The music team played this last week, and it's a song that we've sung here before. We're going to work through the Spanish pronunciation with Chris. Chris is going to say two lines, and we're going to repeat them back to him, starting at the top, working down the page. Then we'll listen to the music team play it, and then we will sing it.
La única razón de mi adoración eres tú, mi Jesús.
Now we're going to say those back. La única razón de mi adoración eres tú, mi Jesús.
Mi único motivo para vivir eres tú, mi Señor.
Mi único motivo para vivir. Eres tú, mi Señor.
Mi única verdad está en ti, eres mi luz y mi salvación.
Mi única verdad está en ti, eres mi luz y mi salvación.
Mi único amor eres tú, Señor, y por siempre te alabaré.
Mi único amor eres tú, Señor, y por siempre te alabaré.
Tú eres todopoderoso, eres grande y majestuoso.
Tú eres todopoderoso, eres grande y majestuoso.
Eres fuerte, invencible, y no hay nadie como tú.
Eres fuerte, invencible, y no hay nadie como tú.
Thank you, Chris. Good job. All right. So the music team is going to play this. You can follow along with the words and join in. Don't worry about making mistakes with the Spanish pronunciation. There's enough out there that are going to be strong with this. You can listen into them.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Beloved, let us come into God's presence with praise. Know that God loves righteousness and justice.
There is a soul of the steadfast love of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made.
By that same word, may God recreate us and renew the earth.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Let us pray. We join in the ancient words of the psalmist to celebrate and give thanks for your love. We gather together out of a world of uncertainty and division. We gather together that we might be renewed and formed not by the ways of this world, not by its animosities and division, but you, the source of steadfast love. And so, beloved, we come together in confidence before you, O Lord, uniting our voices to sing your praise through Christ our Lord. Come, we that love the Lord, you rise and join together, if you are able, to join us in singing hymn number 14.
Thank you.
Journey hymnal, number 109, There Is More Love Somewhere.
Let us continue in the prayerful longing of this song, coming before God to confess, coming before God to seek healing and wholeness. Let us pray. We have gathered this morning, O God. We have sung of your steadfast love. For this we are grateful. But we know in ourselves that our love can waver. In weariness, we can dampen love, reclaim us by your steadfast love, heal the wounds that would limit our love. When we speak of your love, we are minded of the promise that nothing can separate us from your love. Yet we know moments of separation from those who ought to love us, those we ought to love. Enter these spaces that brood fear, that make us defensive. Heal us by your steadfast love and renew us. Lord, you distill all commands, all instructions into this: to love you with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love neighbor as ourselves. Where we are tempted to worship and adore other things, whether the work of our hands, whether longings and lusts that are unworthy of you, heal us, cleanse us, in so doing, make us instruments of your love. Forgive us, strengthen us, renew us by your word and spirit. We pray in your name, O Christ. Amen. Beloved of God, the Lord has promised that if we confess our sins, God is steadfast, God is just, and forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Receive this gift. Stand to walk in newness of life. Receive the gift of the peace of Christ and extend it to one another in saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." La paz Christi. Be with you. It is a delight to have to stand and wait because we are still greeting one another, still embracing one another. And this is the work of God in our midst. This is the sign of Christ's presence. So let us rejoice. And I'd like to invite the children to come down and join me right up front. Good morning. Thank you. How are all of you doing? Good? You know, I had to think of something this morning because they've been giving all kinds of, they've been giving weather warnings for today. You know what they've been warning about?
Wind.
Wind, that's right. They said, we might have really strong winds. We lived in Kansas at one time, and on the news they used to say, be sure you put rocks in your kids' pockets before they go out today so they don't get blown away. So hang on to someone's hand when you're outside walking today if the wind is blowing hard. But let's first, I see some of you have brought gifts to share. Thank you for that. And we're going to pass this around. And if you don't have something, just lay your hand on it and just pray a quick blessing for the persons and what this money will be used for to bless others. Thank you. Well, I don't know if you have noticed already, there's one word that we've heard a lot already, and we're going to keep hearing it. We'll hear it in the scripture readings today, and we'll also, I'm sure we'll hear it in Pastor Steve's sermon. Has anyone noticed a word that's been used a lot today? No? Okay, let me give you a hint. There recently was a holiday that people exchanged cards and notes, sometimes candy and flowers.
Huh?
Valentine's Day. And what word do you associate with Valentine's Day?
Love.
Love, yes. And you know, Valentine, and I didn't think this through well enough, but actually is named after a Christian saint. And it is his holiday. Was St. Valentine's Day. So we're not talking just about the kind of mushy, squishy love that we hear about, but a love that serves and cares and shares. So, how do you let someone know that you love them?
Write a love letter.
Write a love letter? Okay, you can write it. You can put it in words in a letter. Mm-hmm. How else do you let someone know you love them?
Huh? You share meals together.
Ah.
Hug them.
Okay. Well, and what can you simply do is say it. Say, I love you. And that's an important thing to do. Those are words we all need to hear. And sometimes we don't hear them enough. But what is that word, when you hear that word and you know that it's genuine and someone says, ah, I love you, how does it feel? Do you have a feeling that goes along with that?
Love.
Yeah. Well, and do you have other words you can use to describe that? Happy love. Yeah, well, you feel happy, yeah. What else do we feel? Do you feel safe when somebody says, when somebody loves you? Yeah. And secure, it's kind of like a, Do any of you have a favorite blanket that you kind of wrap up in and you feel all warm? And love is kind of like that. That it embraces us and helps us to be secure, to know that we're safe, to know that we matter to someone. Well, the Bible even goes further, and it says, just imagine that we had no language and no words. Then how might you tell someone that you love them? There have been some ideas already given. I'm sorry. Food, yes. And then sometimes you might not give them food, and that might be a way of saying that you love them too, because a few of us love food too much. Okay, but sharing a meal really is a way of love. In fact, the way Jesus has us remember him is by sharing a meal. And we have communion every now and then, and that is at the heart of that, is to remember this sign of his love for us. And he said that at a time when suffering was very close. So he wanted us to know this love that could strengthen us. Are there other ways you can show love to someone? Or that someone's shown it to you?
Staying with you in hard times.
Yeah. I was 15 years old and my father died suddenly. And throughout that day and days that followed, we had many people who stopped in at our house. You know, and I don't remember many words that were said. But I remember a man who was a close friend of my father's, and he came in and he took my mother in his arms and just held her and wept, put his arms around me and held me. And that meant more than any words, to know that even in this very hard and awful time, people were going to stay with us. That's a good example. Any others? Another word that often is expression of love is to serve others. To help them by doing things that they may need, and sometimes to do that without asking. You know, if you know somebody enjoys something or there's something you can do to lighten the load they have, is to serve them. Well, today, during the Sunday school time, the adults are going to be together we're having a whole series of conversations about Prairie Street and sort of the future of Prairie Street. And that talking together, that dreaming together, that being honest with each other is another expression of love. And so as the adults gather today, let us all remember that when we talk honestly with each other, that is another expression of our love for each other. Can we join our hands? And we'll offer a prayer, okay? God, thank you. Thank you for the hands that we now hold. And I invite the adults to join hands as well. We give thanks for the hands that we hold. They are a reminder that we are not alone. Thank you for the expressions of love of those who stay with us in difficult times, those who share meals and laughter, those who serve. Above all, we remember your love and the promise that nothing can separate us from that love. In this world, in this life, there will be difficult times. But you have promised even difficult times don't separate us from you. May we be strengthened and healed by that and extend that love with others. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. reading today's scripture text in English, and Brother Leo, who serves as one of our elders, will be reading the Spanish text. From Matthew 22nd chapter 34:40. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Nuestra escritura de hoy es Mateo 22:34-40. Al enterarse los fariseos que Jesús había hecho callar a los saduceos, se reunieron alrededor de él, y uno de ellos, que era intérprete de la ley, le preguntó: "Maestro, ¿cuál es el gran mandamiento en la ley?" Jesús le respondió: "Amarás al Señor tu Dios con todo tu corazón y con toda tu alma y con toda tu mente. Este es el primer y más importante mandamiento, y el segundo es semejante al primero: amarás a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. De estos dos mandamientos dependen toda la ley y los profetas."
And from the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 10. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, shall not covet, or any other commandment, are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law."
Segunda lectura en Romanos 13, 8 al 10. "No tengan deudas con nadie. Aparte de la deuda, amarse unos a otros, porque el que ama al prójimo ha cumplido la ley. Los mandamientos: no adulterarás, no matarás, no hurtarás, no dirás falso testimonio, no codiciarás. Y cualquier otro mandamiento se resume a esta sentencia: amarás a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. El amor no hace daño a nadie. De modo que el que al amor es el cumplimiento de la ley."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. I'd like to invite Steve Thomas, who is serving us as a transitional pastor, will be preaching this morning. He has just returned from a trip to Africa, and I imagine we may hear some of that also, but please, between us. We give you thanks for our brother Steve, for his ministry among us, and we pray your blessing upon him now as he opens your word with us. Empower him with freedom born of your Spirit, and move within us that your word may accomplish in us and through us that which you desire. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it is good to be back from a long trip on the part of of Mennonite men leading some men's retreats in Tanzania and South Africa and visiting churches that we have extended some grants to for their building programs. I'm grateful for the advice of Steve Wiebe Johnson and James, who said, as you go, be prepared for changes. And that was some good heads up, because hardly anything went as planned, but everything went very well, exceeding my expectations. It was so good to experience the rich diversity of the Mennonite churches in Tanzania and South Africa, and especially to experience, to join in their song and dance. Well, maybe not the dance, but it was just so full of the spirit and life and energy, and it was just a gift to witness such diversity. One of the surprising changes in our schedule was an opportunity for Amos, who is here in this congregation, for he and I, while we were between two churches, we drove past Serengeti National Park, and so we just kind of made a quick trip into the park. And I was impressed with the variety of wildlife that we saw. Common within the park are certain watering holes around which you have such a diverse community of God's animal kingdom gathered. In this image here that I came across, this painting of a water hole, I had to think of the church, that this is almost like an image of the church gathered together with such amazing diversity, you know, all in one place, animals, people who otherwise would probably not be together. But there's something about the importance of the well, that essential need for water, the water of life that brings us together. What I would like to talk about are some of the kind of the differences, the diversity that we see in this image. Diversity like this brings difference, and difference can divide us. Differences can cause conflict and threaten the very unity of our church. In my interviews with the congregation, and as I describe in the report, we are a congregation of amazing diversity. There are significant differences within this community of faith. And a number of you expressed concern about how we hold together our differences, how we continue to be a diverse community of faith that lives out the call of Jesus in our life together. And there was a strong interest in finding ways to be more inclusive, to welcome our differences, to celebrate our differences in this community of faith. So what I would like to talk about today, and as we have in our second hour, the community task group of engaging the congregation in some conversations to get feedback, to introduce a model that would propose to shift our traditional approach, that Prairie Street, like most congregations, has a traditional approach to who belongs, who can be a member, to be a more open with what's called a more of an emerging centered set approach to belonging. So I'd like to introduce this model as another model for Prairie Street to consider as a way of holding the center and holding our differences in this faith. For example, the differences that we have on same-sex relationships are significant. Prairie Street is across the continuum on this question, on this issue, as I describe in my report. An issue like this could potentially divide Prairie Street, as it has so many congregations across North America and elsewhere. And so we want to look at what is it that holds us together, that in spite of our differences, in the threat of divisive conflicts, we maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace, which is part of that resolution in 1995 of the Mennonite Church to agree and disagree in love, honoring the call that Paul extends to us in Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, of maintaining the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. So when we think about differences, too often we are inclined to draw lines between those who differ from us. And so this morning I want to have us consider, rather than drawing lines on who's on one side or the other, to think in terms of a dot. And to think of that dot as being God's love as revealed in Jesus. Some might ask, well, why not have the scripture, the Bible? After all, as people of the book, why not simply have the Holy Bible be our center? Well, that would make sense, except that we don't all agree on the 613 commandments that we find in scripture. We find in Deuteronomy, in Exodus, the so-called Ten Commandments, the ten words that we're to live by. But in the course of time, there would be 366 prohibitions and 248 prescriptions about what this looks like in practice, giving us a total of 613 commandments. And so, how do we honor these? What do we do with the difficult commandments such as these? We find, do not let cattle graze with other kinds of cattle. So at our place, we had cattle of different breeds together. Do not plant different crops in the same field. Do not wear clothes made of more than one fabric. I'd invite you to look at what you're wearing right now and see how you are in violation of the law. Those who commit adultery shall be put to death. Those who commit homosexual acts shall be put to death. Those who curse their parents shall be put to death. Those who pick up sticks on the Sabbath shall be put to death. So if we were to observe this in a strict sense, I'd be dead, and most of you would be as well. And so all these commandments have served an important place somehow in some way in guiding God's people at certain times and places. But a huge problem developed for God's people when they became too focused on the laws and regulations of Jewish religion rather than the relationship of God, which is at the center of living by God's word, living by God's spirit, observing not so much the letter of the law, but the spirit. And especially as Anabaptist Christians, where we believe that Jesus is the center of our faith, of really looking to the way of Jesus. So we find the prophets reducing the many to a few. Isaiah reducing the commandments to six. Or Micah reducing them to three in this famous passage from Micah 6, 8. But Jesus, as we heard in our reading, brings it back to the first and the greatest, about loving God and loving neighbor as ourself. Jesus brings us back to the center of it all, the center of all the biblical commandments, the center of our life with God, to live in the way of love. Or as Paul said in our reading here, it's all about love, and that who loves has fulfilled the entire law. John 13, one of the final discourses that we have of Jesus with his disciples, now regarded as friends, made it very clear that love is the distinguishing mark, revealing what God values in human relationships. And a test of this love is to the extent that we not only love enemies, those who are difficult to live, but also the extent to which we invite, welcome, and include others, especially those who are different than us, who have maybe different views than us. One of the great stories that I love in the New Testament comes from Acts 10. And we often refer to this story as featuring at the center the conversion of Cornelius and others in this household, of the conversion of them into a Christian faith and moving into the community of Christians. But the other conversion that's going on here that's just as important, or maybe even more important, is the conversion of Peter and the other disciples, the other circumcised believers, where we find, I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who reveals God, reveres God, and does what is right is acceptable to God. this is a profound conversion of Peter in his mind about who belongs and who's a part of God's family. I love a description that Alan Kreider has in his book, Worship and Evangelism, Pre-Christendom, of the early church and the amazing diversity, the surprising diversity that we find in the first in early community, where one so-called pagan writers of the church, the Christians are a gang of discredited desperados. They've gathered together from the lowest dregs of the populace, ignorant men and credulous women, and have formed a rabble of impious conspirators. They fall in love almost before they become acquainted. Everywhere they introduce a kind of a religion of lust, of love. And a kind of this amazing description that there is something profoundly different about these followers of Jesus gathering in community, embodying the way of love that would hold together such a surprising group of individuals. I wonder what would be said of Prairie Street. It's an important question to first consider. How would we describe, to what extent are we inviting, to what extent are we welcoming and inclusive of all who come into the congregation? To what extent do we embody and fulfill this law of love? And then when we come to Acts 15, when the church is wrestling with this question of where to draw the line, so to speak, of who belongs and who could be a member of the church, we find them seeking the Spirit to guide them, wrestling with what is written in a way that doesn't seem to address this new inclusion that is happening with the Gentiles who are coming to Jesus, seeking to join Christian community. And we find this amazing kind of discernment. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit that we, and it's simply transcending the rule of the law to become more inclusive so as to welcome those Gentiles into the community of faith. Those who were formerly considered unclean are now considered full members of the community. We find following this conversion of Peter and in the Council of Acts, this kind of a shift maybe from being really bound in a rigid way to Jewish law, to thinking of another way, as followers of Jesus, discerning the will of the Spirit in the call of God here and now. What new thing is God doing, might God be doing, that invites us to become more open and inclusive in our faith and practice? And so here, I'd like to introduce this two different approaches to who belongs, who can be a member of a community. The traditional approach or model has it that one believes and behaves in a certain way before you can belong. That's the so-called bounded set approach, where those who are in or on this side of the lines and within these accepted beliefs and behaviors are in, and those who are not are out. And that there's a very clear definition of the requirements of membership, that to agree to certain beliefs are in, and those who are not are outside the fellowship. And these lines are drawn, they're fixed like a fence. But with this new emerging understanding that's happening in the church, a calling for us to shift from this bounded to more of a centered set approach, where we're defining a clear central point. What is that one thing that holds us together in spite of our differences? And agreeing to hold that as our center, so that rather than drawing lines, we think in another way. In their book on mission, Hirsch and others describe this approach of drawing on the Australian outback. And Jim, maybe we could call on you to describe this better than I can. But in open territories, fences just don't make sense. And I saw this also in Africa in the last 2 weeks, where we have these vast open spaces where farmers have their cattle, where farmers have their goats and sheep. And this was especially evident in South Africa with a lot of with sheep herding. That you don't have fences because they're impractical, but what the farmer provides is a well to hold the sheep. There is a center that holds them together. I love this particular aerial image. Here's one single sheep coming to that well. And that there are many paths to and away from the well at the center. Or of these images here, the traditional bounded approach holds or defines by a fence. Where those with a centered approach, you're kind of drawn to the well and you're kind of really living out to this center. And so there is a place, while we're clear about the center, that we have maybe certain convictions, some certain maybe standards, if you will, that we hold with two hands. On one hand, we hold our deep convictions about what is good and true, and on the other hand, our firm commitment to love one another. We hold these together. And so there are a place for statements of our core values or our confessions, because they help define the faith and life that we share together, the character of our own community. So in this image here, rather than having a hard, solid line, we might draw a dotted line. That these are the things within kind of our community that define who we are. So for example, I've circulated to the leadership task group and to the community task groups, Palmer Becker's excellent essay, really defining what is at the core of our Anabaptist kind of church. And that is that Jesus is the center of our faith, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation or peace is at the center of our work. These core values or these convictions provide some character and provide some definition. So it's just not wide open. Or also, I've circulated within the congregation from the Anabaptist Network, these Anabaptist core convictions, that we can use these things to help define the character of this Christian community. What are those distinctive values that make us different than maybe the community of faith across the street? And so I might ask, what is the center for Prairie Street? In the conversations that we'll have with the community task group of considering really who belongs and who can be a member, if we would want to move in this direction away from a bounded set that our current bylaws and constitution at Prairie Street Mennonite Church we have that I include in your bulletin insert, what would that center be? We might say following Jesus. That's the center of the Prairie Street vision statement, following Jesus. Or one might say love, really as an expression of the great commandment and exemplified in Jesus. And when we think about love, it's not so loosey-goosey as maybe we use like on Valentine's Day that David referred to. But it's defined and it's revealed in very certain ways in the example of Jesus, who gives us some demonstration of what this Christian love looks like. Those who follow Jesus live in certain ways to honor the so-called law of love. Let me give you an example. At Shalom Community Church in Ann Arbor, the church I just served before coming to Prairie Street, they were really grappling with some pretty significant differences of having amazing diversity in this this urban congregation. And so they redefined their mission and their identity and had a welcoming statement as a way of trying to communicate who belongs here. And they stated this as their mission. We at Shalom Community Church strive to empower spiritual renewal and fulfill a vision of Shalom to embody divine love, compassion, and justice in our personal and community journeys. And then for their welcoming statement, without exception, all who embrace Shalom's mission are welcome in the life of the church. That mission is very clear. This is what we are about, of serving God's Shalom, and this is who we are, followers of Jesus. And the congregation couldn't even agree on Jesus because we have two Jews within the congregation. We have those who do not identify with Christianity, but they say, as Danny, our one Jewish brother, says, I'm a committed Jew, but this Jesus guy got it right, and I want to follow him in this community. And Mark, our other Jewish brother, was more Christian than most of us, radically living out the way of Jesus while maintaining his Jewish identity. And others who want nothing to do with a Christian church, but want to follow the way of Jesus in a community. And so they can't agree on what to believe about Jesus, but this they could agree. We all are following in the way of Jesus. And that was the center that they could all agree on. What we believe about Jesus, what this looks like, varies, but we have a common core here, a common central point, following the way of Jesus. And to make it then clear that without exception all can belong, they went on to have this that they put out there publicly. We welcome all of any sexual identity, gender, race, ethnicity, or religion, ability, class, politic, or criminal history to share their gifts, insights, and perspective in striving toward shalom. They wanted to make it perfectly clear that if you share this mission as a follower of Jesus serving God, shalom, you are welcome. You belong. And so it's a lovely a statement of wanting to be an inclusive, loving community. And so I simply present this model to you here at Prairie Street to invite us to consider that maybe shifting from a bounded set to a centered set, to have us become more inclusive, forbearing of our differences, and ultimately more a loving community. Let us pray. God, we thank you for what you have done and Jesus revealing yourself to us. We pray that as this congregation wrestles with its identity and mission as a community of faith, that your spirit will continue to work, revealing your way, revealing your will, and what it means to be followers of Jesus here and now in this community. We trust you, and we ask your blessing, especially in our second hour conversation as we engage some of these related questions. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Purple, sing the story, number 31, Jesus, be the center. And those who are able, please stand.
Thank you. Now is the time for usher come forth, please.
In the blue hymnal, number 600, Oh Bless the Lord, My Soul.
We believe in the Church Universal because it is a sign of God's reign, whose faithfulness is shown in its many hues, where all the colors paint a single landscape, where all tongues sing the same praise. And because we believe, we commit ourselves to believe for those who do not believe, to love for those who do not love, to dream for those who do not dream, until the day when hope becomes reality. Let us pray for the coming of God's shalom in the words that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Prairie Street sings number 54, I Saw a River Flowing. And those who are able, please stand.
blessing. Go to celebrate the God who is our well, our watering hole, our home forever. Go to follow Jesus, the center, the source, and the light. Go with the Holy Spirit now to change the world with love. And may God's love go with you. Amen. Amen.